This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. I wanted to analyze and discuss a false argument that was sent to us. A few days ago, we posted an email from an individual who was commenting on our article that deals with the theological status of geocentrism and heliocentrism and the devastating problem that issue creates for, quote, baptism of desire arguments. I don't want to discuss the contents of that article in detail in this video. That's not the purpose of this video. You can read the article to see what it contains. However, in the second half of this video, I will briefly discuss the salient points that are made in that article. I should note that that article does not examine the question of whether the Earth is the center of the universe. It rather analyzes whether the magisterium has ever taught that the Earth is the center of the universe. And the answer to that question is no. The issue is dealt with very specifically and very carefully in that article. The popular objections are answered. And one of the facts that's brought up to bolster the position that the Church has not taught that the Earth is the center of the universe officially as a dogma is a quote that I found in an encyclical from Pope Benedict XV, not the 16th, Pope Benedict XV, in 1921. He wrote an encyclical letter called In Proclara Sumorum, and in that encyclical he plainly states that the Earth may not be the center of the universe. He obviously did not believe that it was a teaching of the Church that the Earth is the center of the universe. And someone wrote in saying that the Pope wasn't stating that. The person contends that Benedict XV was, quote, making a proposition and drawing a conclusion. He was saying, if this, and this, and this, it still remains this. In other words, this individual thinks that Benedict XV was not plainly stating that the Earth may not be the center of the universe, but simply mentioning it in a kind of hypothetical argument. That is to say, he thinks that Benedict XV was only assuming that the Earth may not be the center of the universe for the sake of an argument. And that's obviously ridiculous when you consider the passage in context, as we pointed out in the e-exchanges. But I want to quote quickly what Benedict XV said. He said, if the progress of science showed later that the conception of the world rested on no sure foundation, that the spheres imagined by our ancestors did not exist, that the nature, the number, and course of the planets and stars are not indeed as they were then thought to be, still the fundamental principle remained that the universe, whatever be the order that sustains its parts, is the working of the creating and omnipotent God. And he goes on to say, and though this earth on which we live may not be the center of the universe as at one time was thought, it was the scene of the original happiness of our ancestors. End quote. In the midst of his comments, he clearly states that the earth may not be the center of the universe. And if something is a truth of faith, a Catholic is not permitted to say that it may not be true. And this was pointed out in our e-exchange's response to this individual. For example, a Catholic is not permitted to say, if history has proven that Jesus Christ was not God, you couldn't say that without contradicting the faith, because that would be calling into question a defined dogma. You may not deny or doubt that which is dogmatically certain. So to state that a truth of faith may not be true is heretical. Therefore, Benedict XV's statement that the earth may not be the center of the universe is not compatible with the position that the earth is certainly dogmatically the center of the universe. And someone else wrote in on this point, arguing that our refutation of this individual is not correct. And his name is Paul Smith from Texas. And this is an individual I recently had to rebuke for an instance of bad will. And so it's interesting how when you rebuke these individuals, they look to find fault with argumentation and they wind up falling into pits every time through their bad will. And the dishonesty of their intentions comes out. And this is an example. And he says, Brother Peter, the very thing you condemn in what she says, he's referring to the email, you have done in your debates. You have said in your debates to the other person, for argument's sake, let's say you are right. If such and such were true, then You have used the same expression she points out the Pope was saying. He also says, quote, didn't St. Paul say, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain? Based on your statement to Elaine, that is a heretical statement. End quote. This is completely illogical, invalid, and false reasoning, and I will carefully explain why. You may not call into question a defined dogma. You may not say that something that has been dogmatically defined or officially taught by the Church may not be true. That's what Benedict XV's statement would be doing if geocentrism were a teaching of the Catholic Church. But you can make an argument for the sake of argument when you've already clearly established what your position is. For example, if I am making a presentation, or someone else is, and the person is arguing that Benedict XVI is not the Pope, the person could then make an argument which assumes, for the sake of argument, that Benedict XVI is the Pope, to demonstrate the evil consequences that flow from that conclusion, and how they are not consistent with Catholic teaching. But notice that when you do that, one, you've already clearly established your position that he is not the Pope, and two, your argument for the sake of argument is made precisely to prove the certainty of that position, that he is not the Pope. You are not calling into question whether he is the Pope. You are not just stating as fact he may or may not be the Pope. You're not denying the faith, because you've already clearly asserted your position. And the argument you're making, it's called in legal terms arguendo, for the sake of argument, is precisely to prove the point, but in the document we're discussing, from Benedict XV, he's not doing that. Benedict XV does not say anywhere that the earth is the center of the universe, and he certainly does not indicate that he's saying the earth may not be the center of the universe solely for the sake of an argument to prove that the earth is the center of the universe. Not at all. He doesn't do that. There's nothing in his encyclical that states that the earth is the center of the universe. Therefore, this response is invalid and illogical and fails right away. It's not comparable, and really this should be immediately recognized by an honest person, that no, it's not the same to call into question a truth of faith, or to state that a truth of faith may not be true, and to make a for the sake of argument when you've already clearly enunciated the truth of faith. And he further makes a gross error, this Paul Smith individual who's extremely dishonest and of bad will. He brings up St. Paul as if that's analogous to what we're talking about. It's not at all. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's what he's quoting, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 5, that I delivered unto you that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. St. Paul clearly enunciates the resurrection, that Christ rose again, as a truth of faith, as a point of divine revelation. Okay, his position is clear, his position is established. And then he goes on to argue, if Christ has not risen, if you assume for the sake of argument that Christ has not risen, the consequence would be that our faith is in vain. That's obviously permissible reasoning and argumentation. When you've already clearly set forth the truth, you can then reason from that truth and assume for the sake of argument that it is not true to illustrate the consequences that would follow if that truth were denied. That's not what Benedict XV did at all. He didn't say anywhere that he believes the truth is that the earth is the center of the universe. Rather, he simply stated that the earth may not be the center of the universe. So, that's a clear example of dishonest argumentation from bad-willed individuals who cannot see the truth clearly. In fact, this individual, Paul Smith, is so blind that he actually said in his email that based on what we say, we would have to consider St. Paul's statement heretical. He obviously has no idea what he's talking about whatsoever, and his powers of apprehension have been dulled as a result of bad will. No, it's not comparable at all. St. Paul clearly taught the resurrection and then argued for the sake of argument what the consequences would be if people were to deny the resurrection. The entire faith would be in vain. The entire faith would be denied. In the same way, in our debates, we will assert the true position that Benedict XVI is not the Pope, and then, for the sake of argument, assume that he is, to demonstrate that the position is incompatible with Catholic teaching because it would require people to believe things the Church could not teach. Benedict XV was not doing that at all. He was simply stating that the earth may not be the center of the universe. And those points are quite obvious. Thus, for someone to send in an email, like the one we received, comparing legitimate argumentation that is made to someone calling something into question, is outrageously dishonest. And in fact, what Benedict XV is saying is that the earth may not be the center of the universe, but still, the earth was the scene of the creation of man and the redemption of man. That's the truth that he considers certain. His point is that even if the earth is not the center of the universe, it was still where Jesus redeemed the world, etc. While he considered that certain, he did not consider it certain that the earth is the center of the universe. Now, I should point out that the point of the article was not that Benedict XV's statement in this letter was infallible. Rather, it was one piece of evidence among a number of points covered to demonstrate that the magisterium has never taught that the earth is the center of the universe. And the larger point that's made in the article is that a careful consideration of this issue destroys popular baptism of desire arguments because, quote, baptism of desire advocates are generally under the impression that if something has been defined as a dogma, then the theologians of that period or the Pope of that period will have a perfect recognition of this fact and could never act as if it had not been defined as a dogma. Or, on the other hand, they would also believe that if something has not been defined as a dogma, then the theologians and the Pope of that period would not consider it to have been defined as a dogma or to be de fide. And the geocentrism issue destroys that line of argumentation. For example, the argument they make that a decree of the Holy Office approved in common form is infallible or necessarily ends the debate on a theological matter. They make that argument in reference to the heretical so-called Holy Office letter dated August 8, 1949, called Protocol 12249, that was written against Father Leonard Feeney. This letter is quite heretical. It's exposed in our book. It denies the necessity of the Church in a variety of ways. But the proponents of, quote, baptism of desire believe that this 1949 letter against Father Feeney was definitive on the issues of baptism and salvation because it purported to be a Holy Office decree approved in common form. But at the same time, they reject decrees of the Holy Office that were approved in common form against Galileo. Those decrees considered the denial of geocentrism to be heretical. They do not subscribe to that position or to those decrees, but they consider the 1949 letter to be binding. Thus, their position is not only completely wrong, the letter which they think is definitive is actually heretical and not infallible, but their position is also wildly inconsistent. They also make the argument that the common consent of theologians at one period of time necessarily reflects the theological status that truth holds in the Church. And therefore, if the common consent of theologians, let's say, in the late 19th century and 20th century believed in, quote, baptism of desire, they could not be wrong about the theological status of, quote, baptism of desire. That's nonsense, and it's destroyed by the geocentrism issue, among other things. That's destroyed because no matter what side of this issue you find yourself on, let's say you believe that geocentrism has been infallibly taught, and that the acts against Galileo demonstrated that. In my article, I proved that they were not infallible. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you think that the acts against Galileo were acts of the magisterium, and that the Church committed itself to that position in that period. Well, the theologians in the centuries that followed did not believe that the Church had committed itself magisterially or dogmatically to that position, and this quote of Benedict XV is a striking example. Therefore, you would have to admit that it's possible that something could be dogmatically defined or taught, but that subsequent theologians and popes could be completely unaware of this fact and wrong about it. On the other hand, if you believe that the Church has not taught that the Earth is the center of the universe, and that the acts against Galileo, etc., did not rise to the level of official church teaching, well, the fact is that the popes at that time and the theologians of that time believed that the Church was definitively speaking on that issue and had definitively spoken on that issue. While the popes of that period did not issue anything in specific form declaring that the Earth is the center of the universe, they did approve in common form decrees that condemned the denial of geocentrism and treated it as if it were a binding matter of divine revelation. Hence, even if you are on the side of those who believe that the Church did not teach geocentrism officially, you would therefore have to admit that popes could consider something to be a teaching of the Church and allow it to be taught as if it were a teaching of the Church in their fallible capacities and be completely wrong. And this devastates popular arguments that popes could never have allowed, quote, baptism of desire to be taught in theological manuals, etc., if it were not a teaching of the Church. Moreover, another popular, quote, baptism of desire argument is that a doctor of the Church could never consider something to be de fide that was in fact not de fide or even an error. A false traditionalist heretic named John Lane made this argument, and this also is completely wrong. There are numerous examples of doctors of the Church being completely wrong about the theological status of a teaching of the Church, but again, simply focusing on this issue provides us with an excellent example. St. Robert Bellarmine, in the controversy with Galileo, taught that it is de fide that the Earth is the center of the universe. Therefore, if you are on the side of those who do not believe that the Earth is the center of the universe, you would have to admit that a doctor of the Church considered something to be de fide and was completely wrong. And if you're on the side of those who believe that the Church did teach geocentrism and that St. Robert Bellarmine was correct, that the Earth is the center of the universe and it is de fide, well then you have to admit that a pope, Benedict XV, was wrong in an encyclical about something that the Church has taught and that a doctor of the Church considered de fide. And that proves the point even more effectively, because the protection of the magisterium was not promised to doctors of the Church, but to Peter and his successors alone, as we learn in Luke chapter 22. And therefore, if it's plausible that a pope could be completely wrong, such as Benedict XV, in his fallible capacity, about the theological status of something taught by the Church and considered de fide by a doctor of the Church, then how much more can a doctor of the Church be wrong about something that the Church may or may not have taught? Thus, the article on this topic, which is linked to in the description of this video, demonstrates that a careful consideration of the geocentrism issue and its theological status devastates popular arguments for, quote, baptism of desire. It again points us back to why the true position on these matters must be derived from the indisputably infallible pronouncements. And when people erect the opinions and beliefs of theologians and even popes in their fallible capacities against what is indisputably dogmatic and infallible, they are contradicting church teaching, and they are misunderstanding how to properly utilize and adhere to the magisterium. God promised infallibility to Peter and his successors in certain circumscribed areas, and they can be wrong when they are not utilizing that authority, and theologians and doctors of the Church can also be wrong. And popes can be unaware of the status of truths and whether even his predecessors have definitively pronounced upon those truths. And what is said about, quote, baptism of desire applies equally as well to the issue of natural family planning, a sinful birth control practice that was taught by many theologians in the 20th century. Some people say, how could that have occurred if it is in fact sinful, and if it in fact contradicts Pope Pius XI's teaching in Casta Canubi on the primary purpose of the marriage act, because it really subordinates that to other things. And the answer is that theologians can be wrong about the status of something. Popes in their fallible capacity and fallible teaching can be wrong. What must ultimately guide us on these matters are the indisputably infallible papal pronouncements. So, to read this article, one can click on the link that is found in the description of this video.